welcome back to The Aware Show. And I want to remind you, remember to go to theawareshow.com, our website, where you can watch shows as well as hear them anytime on our Hay House Radio platform, Gaia TV, and our shows here if you go to theawareshow.com. So I have a real strong appreciation for beauty and for art. I think beauty is the one thing in my life that I can rely on being consistent. When I find a rose, it's consistently beautiful. Even if it's out of bloom, it's still beautiful to me. Or a strawberry. I just find beauty in things, and it really makes me feel good. I think someone else who shares that is my guest today, Carl Studna. Carl's beautiful photography has been through the portraits of incredibly influential people like Sir Paul McCartney and His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He has incredible, innovative work that many, many people have had the gift of seeing. He has a really wonderful new book out that is called The Evolution of Loving. And I think this is his, as far as Carl has explained to me, one of his most proud works. Welcome to the show, Carl. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Lisa. It's so great to be with you.
It's amazing to say that after you've photographed all these incredible people, and these pictures people can see in his previous book called Click, Choosing Love One Frame at a Time, that your latest book is your proudest work. Why is that?
Wow. God, there's so many reasons. I began it 25 years ago, and it just embodies sacred love with eight couples, and each have their own chapter. And I'm just so proud of it because it feels authentic to the love and the authenticity of each couple sharing their stories through beautiful text and interviews and through intimate sepia-toned photographs. So combination of the time that it took and how much that I learned from them on my personal path to opening to greater conscious relationship. There's so many aspects here.
It's more about the stories of conscious relationships than anything.
That's right.
But when you look behind a camera, you probably see things differently than I do. From your years of experience, but what do you look for when you are looking through the lens of a camera?
Well, light, that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And when I say light, I mean both the inner and the outer light. I do believe that everything and everybody embodies their own unique vibration of light, and you can feel it and you see it. So when I'm picking up a camera and I'm looking through it, that is where my lens of focus is on feeling and seeing the greatest amount of light being revealed, and that can be connected to beauty, as you were, you know, talking about when we began.
Yet you chose to do this book in sepia tone, in black and white, kind of, and with the not so much of the colors of the rainbow. Why did you choose that?
Well, it's interesting because when I began it 25 years ago, which is just mind blowing, I didn't realize that it would take 25 years to birth, but it makes even more sense now that it be in sepia because it helps to give it even a greater sense of timelessness, and the stories that these couples share and the beauty and the intimacy and the light that comes through in their faces and in their embrace, I believe that the sepia just helps to add even a greater sense of warmth and love that encompasses the whole project.
That's amazing that you really truly can see the light through the joy in these people's faces. So it's not just light from a sunshine or from a camera lens. It's really what exists between them.
Mm-hmm. Right. The emanation of their love coming out and being depicted as outer light, you know, their inner light really shining through, and the love of their connection, and ranging from, you know, trust to passion to vulnerability, Yeah, there's so many qualities that come through in, I believe, a very genuine and powerful way.
Now, you have these couples that are in here, all ranges. You have older couples, younger couples, pregnant couples, same-sex couples, all sorts of amazing photographs in here. How did you choose these couples?
Well, I just started putting the word out initially, and my circle of influence, people, my community, tribe, extended tribe, they just started, you know, giving it some thought, and as, you know, synchronicity would allow, it just, the perfect people were guided to me. I'd be specific, you know, I'd say, well, now I'm looking for a couple that have been together, you know, practically their whole lives. And, but all of the fundamental quality that was essential with all the couples, all the diversity and everything, was that they all really embody a very devoted relationship, devoted to growth, to expansion, to consciousness, and that had to be there. So I would talk with people on the phone first and get a sense and really, really vibe in, and then we would set a time to meet and to do an interview and then do the photographs.
What was the experience like for the couples?
Well, most of the couples, if not all, shared with me a similar thing, and that was that they all felt like my being there was not the least bit intrusive, because some of the couples are beautifully intimate. Some of them are actually making love. Some of them are just being tender with each other. And they all shared that after a short while, they even forgot that I was there. And I believe that the reason for that is because I treated each time that I was with each couple as a very sacred experience, as if I'd be going into like the most sacred of temples and honoring, just so deeply honoring who they were and their vulnerability and their openness and their willingness to share such a sacred time with me.
When you work with all of these incredibly, you know, high-profile people, even the Dalai Lama and other people that you worked with, do you take on the same approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do. And I think that this book, if anything, it just reminded me in a much greater way of trusting the honoring of each person that I'm with, because I believe that photographing someone, whether it be a portrait, whether it be a candid, whether it be in the intimacy of these pictures in this book, that all of it is, people are giving themselves over to you or to the camera, and it's, I think it really requires for anyone that's a sensitive, you know, photographer, to be sensitive and to be honoring of who they are and what their needs are, because most people don't feel comfortable in front of a camera. So how do I be with each person and cultivate that level of trust and that level of safety and that level of honoring?
Right. How do you get them to be less self-conscious?
Yeah. Well, some of it, I think, is just simply the way of being, breathing. Everybody I have, you know, different, I vibe into and sense what their needs are. Some people, actually, humor and silliness works really well and for them to relax. Some people, it's more of a meditative thing. We're asking them to breathe or close their eyes and sink into that place of knowing that it's trusting and that they're safe and that they're beautiful. I mean, most people never hear enough in their lives just how beautiful that we are. We just don't hear it very much. And when I'm saying it in a session, I really mean it. And people feel it, and they get it. So I'm constantly affirming their beauty and really their perfection, and it allows people just to sink into that greater place of opening and shedding, letting go and shedding some of the self-consciousness and the fears.
It's, you know, the people that you work with, they have such large missions in life. So, I mean, Paul McCartney and the Dalai Lama, how do you get all of that or capture that body of work in a photograph?
Well, that's one reason why I so love the medium of still photography, because every frame, which actually, you know, I talk about in Click, that every frame is different. You never see two frames that are exactly the same, because our consciousness shifts from moment to moment. So So the optimal approach is, in the place of honoring that person, in the place of opening and allowing them to fully express who they are, then they shed, as we were saying, they shed all the stuff that isn't who they are, and they're left with their essential nature. And then every frame has the opportunity to reflect different aspects of our essential nature, because we're so multidimensional, and if we can get to that place of just letting go, like in that place of opening and honoring, then every frame has the opportunity to really reflect all these different dimensions of who we are.
Hmm. So it really, for you, every photograph is love as an art form, which
That's
you
right.
say
mm-hmm.
in the end of the book. So love as an art form. And to capture that without a bunch of scenery and explanation really requires a special, special gift. What do you see in or look for in human beings or in a photo?
Mm. You mean when I'm looking at photos or when I'm photographing people?
When you're photographing people.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking specifically for that place of let go. And to be more descriptive, what that looks like to me is, if I'm focusing on a person's face, when people are in the release and in the, like, just the let go, that place of just releasing all of the concerns and the fears and the comparisons and all that, then the facial muscles start to relax and the eyes are present. And specifically, the eyes and the mouth are the two primary areas that
you see.
I see when there's the let go. Those are the main two areas.
The let go. That's really cool. So you look for the eyes and the mouth to release, mm-hmm. to let go, for the tension to leave.
Yes. And the eyes, I mean, that's why it's so cool if people are willing, if they're willing to use the medium of still photography when they're looking at, say, a photo session and looking at all of them, just being willing to see as an observer where we are open and present and authentic and being ourselves and having our spirit really shine through, and when we're holding on at all. And the hold on is so obvious, mainly in the mouth area and in the eyes, because the eyes, if you're not fully present, your eyes tend to get kind of glazed or bugged out,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and your mouth looks tense. So I like to sometimes compare one frame after the next with certain people where it's really obvious when they are in that place of let go and release and surrender and when some thought, fear, self-consciousness, comparison is coming through and you can see it. So it can be a great form of actually therapy for learning more about yourself. And then if someone wants to go even deeper, they can go, well, wonder what thought was in my mind when this picture was taken.
Right, right. You remember it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why the picture says 1,000 words, right?
Yeah.
It definitely can. Now, when you have a book like this and you put it out into the world, it's got to be an interesting perspective for you, because it's not a self-help book and it's not something that you say, you know, read this and change your life. It changes you by looking at it. How do you explain that to people, though? How's that going for you, Carl?
Well, I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
Seriously. As we were completing the editing on this with my editor and myself, it was becoming more and more clear to me that it was more of a relationship book than a photography book. I mean, it's both. But if I had to choose one, I'd say the emphasis is more as a relationship book. The photography is a vehicle for enhancing the feelings and the messages that are in this book. And the messages, there's so many beautiful messages about relationship in this book, you know, ranging from, I'd say, the most foundational message that all the couples talk about in one form or another is how they anchor more deeply in trust within themselves and with each other, how they learn to listen and be present and really hear the other person, how they learn how to really be transparent and communicate fears and things that perhaps they've been afraid to communicate. Those are some of the core foundational elements that flow throughout it. And as I've been putting, say, the promotion out for it, it's really focusing on letting people know that if this is going into the depth of a couple's relationships and evolving love over time. How do we navigate growing with another individual in a conscious relationship and allow love to evolve over time? And that seems to be the most coherent focus that I'm putting my attention on.
Evolving over time. That's fantastic, because usually they say, you know, the honeymoon phase and the rocket ship of love in the beginning, but no one really addresses the beauty of the long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's an art form. You have a wonderful long-term relationship with Cynthia, your wife. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I began this book, as I said, 25 years ago, and about 2 years into it is when I met Cynthia. And without a doubt, working on this project and being in the midst of working on it when I met her really served as a catalyst for me opening up to a much more expanded relationship of, you know, what conscious partnership can be. So the book personally helped to open me up and learn from each couple, and then develop along the way with Cynthia certain tools and practices and such that we could continue to practice with each other to stay open and to stay growing in this evolving love.
So it helped transform your own relationship or deepen it, I would say.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it still does. It's wonderful being in the midst of talking and sharing about this book now, because it steeps me even more in these messages and in this vibration of just being open, being willing and being open to listen.
Would you say the book is more of a relationship book than it is a photography book?
Oh, without a doubt.
For sure, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I would not have known that when it first started.
Mm.
But the idea was presented to me through Kenny Loggins 25 years ago, and he shared that idea with me, the concept for it. And
in what way?
We had just finished a photo session, and we're sitting in his hot tub, and he was sharing with me about the deep, devotional, intimate love he shared with his wife at the time, Julia. And then he suggested, well, what do you think about doing a book with various couples, a photography book, where you're really focusing on their faces and documenting the depth of their love, because all these feelings and emotions come out when you are with your beloved in the act of being intimate. And that's how it began, and then it just evolved from there.
Hmm. Now, I love the fact that you did that and that you followed his lead on that, and that you also included this as a, you know, through diversity, through when you have the same-sex couples and the older couples and the pregnant couples and all of the different relationships that you've got covered in here and all different aspects. What about that made it so beautiful for you?
Hmm. Well, to be honest, Lisa, I mean, I've always been drawn to diversity.
Mm.
You know, I don't need to go into the stories, but even as a kid, you know, and choosing a high school, I mean, diversity to me represents all the different possible ways of seeing the world in expanded ways, because every culture, you know, every ethnicity has their own purview and their own cultural identity in a way. So it was necessary at the very beginning that was one of the criteria was, that each couple, that there really be diversity throughout the book. And even in the 90s, I considered at that time including same-sex couples, but I didn't at that time, because I couldn't find a publisher to publish it in the 90s, and at that time self-publishing, you know, really wasn't the option it is now. And so I just accepted that it wasn't the right time to include same-sex couples. But then 3 years ago when I thought the book was almost done and I'm with my editor and we're almost done and I'm having having dinner with Cynthia for an anniversary, and I got this ethereal like tug on my sleeve saying, it's time. This is it. Hmm. This country has evolved to the state now, evolving love, the concept, the whole idea of embracing same-sex couples.
Yes.
And I knew it. So same thing. I put the word out. I was looking for a female couple and a male couple. I found the perfect two couples that had been together both about 20 years.
Wow.
And it was the same level of depth and connection, and that was meant to be before the book was completed.
That's also a wonderful theme, is that most of these couples have been together for a long journey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one couple that had not been together that long, that are in the book, Shinzo and Mono, they sort of represent conscious uncoupling. I photographed them when they were still fairly new together. I came back and did another interview with them about 4 or 5 years later after they had split up, but they were still very dear friends and talked about how they were able to still continue to stay open to the love and cultivate a loving relationship even though the form changed.
Interesting. Very interesting. And then one of them, you also, the pregnant couple, you photographed the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there actually were two pregnant couples, but Ron and Priska, I photographed the birth. So when their daughter Cambria was right coming into the world, and I have a picture of her in the book when she's an hour old, which...
That's an hour old?
She's an hour
old. Oh, my goodness. She looks like a wise old soul. Like she's been sitting there contemplating the planet for many years.
That's right, yeah. And then I went back and did an interview with them a couple years later. And so I did about three interviews with them over a period of time, and really a scope of, you know, an arc in their relationship. So, and a number of the couples really show and talk about these arcs and how they learn to grow through time and through the changes that time brings. And some, you know, at least two or three of the couples share in their own stories about how they worked through some challenging times. You know, how it looked, they really questioned whether the relationship could continue. And they found their way. They found tools and practices and devoted themselves to it. But it had to be mutual. And that's one of the key things that I talk about in the book is mutuality. We know of people that there's one of the one person in the couple that's wanting to have to go deeper and to go to workshops or, you know, practice tools, and the other isn't. And over time, I just don't see how that can really, you know, can really
right.
last or at least be a healthy relationship.
Grow together.
Yeah.
Now, is couples photography something that you've ever wanted to get into or facilitate for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, with this book coming out, Cynthia and I are planning on launching some workshops and online tell events and things like that together. So
wonderful.
It's going to go more in that direction, and I've always been open to it, but I do believe that with this being out there now, people, I'll start getting more inquiries too, which would be wonderful.
Well, yes. I mean, the book is called Evolution of Loving, and it's a beautiful book about conscious relationships and lasting relationships in whatever form they take. But it's also have this, you know, this beautiful connections through these photographs. And it's available everywhere, right? Amazon or where? Oh, it just launched, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it launched on March 6th. And Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online,
great.
All those. Yeah, and it's, and so you can go onto Amazon or evolutionofloving.com is a URL for everything you'd want to know about it. I'm just very proud of it.
Oh, yeah. I was noticing the, how does anyone ever take a picture of you? What, do you put the camera on a rock and then put a timer in? Because...
Well, I do shoot a lot of my own self-portraits. And
do you really?
I do.
What,
yeah.
In a mirror? I mean, how do you do that?
I sink in, just like I was saying earlier about what to bring out in other people. I get to practice it with myself and just... put the timer on, run around, get centered, get the energy moving.
It's going to be a long timer, Carl. That's great. That's fantastic. So you can.
Oh, one more thing I wanted to mention is that at the end of the book, there's a tools and practices section that Cynthia wrote, and she actually synthesized some of the tools from some of the couples and then some of her own and our own. So it gives the reader some concrete tools that they can use to help them to, you know, just to navigate into opening and growing more completely in a relationship.
And Cynthia, his wife, is a transformational leader as well, Cynthia James.
Yeah.
And we are all in this Transformational Leadership Council together. And we were in Oahu earlier this year, and Carl gave me this book, and I was so excited. You were so sweet. You just had it earmarked for me, and I was really honored to be one of the recipients. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure to be with you and to share this little slice of love with you.
Aw. Well, it's a big slice of love, and it is your life's work, really. And
it is. It
so
is.
Much more to go.
As you started by saying, you know, I see this as one of my greatest legacies, at least to this point, and I do believe it will. It will be, you know, in my lifetime.
Well, I don't think that documenting beauty through diversity ever really ends.
That's right.
I think that's something that you could do forever.
Absolutely.
And it shows through this book and through all of your other work and your book, Click. And your admiration for love comes through. It's so wonderful and so refreshing to see someone who has such a deep reverence for love. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Yeah. I feel it.
Yep. All right. I will talk to you soon, Carl Studna.
Yeah,
yes, you too. Carl Studna has been my guest. The name of the book, again, is Evolution of Loving. Check that out online, and you'll be able to see some of the pictures that I'm talking about. All right. And that is it for me today. Thank you so much for being a part of this transformational hour. I hope that you took something away that you could use right away in your life. I'm Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.